You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with The New York Times and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
Welcome back. It's Todd Zwillick with you today. Conflicts and civil wars around the world have seen the horrific use of child soldiers, from Sudan's Lost Boys to the Invisible Children of the Lord's Resistance Army in Congo and other countries. Now there's a new focus on child soldiers after a recent Islamic State suicide bombing in Turkey where the bomber may have been as young as 12 years old. ISIS is increasingly relying on child soldiers. Last year, the group kidnapped hundreds of children in Iraq and Syria. The children are taken to ISIS bases where they're indoctrinated and then forced to fight. South Sudan has been dealing with this problem for years. Since the young country's armed conflict started in 2013, an estimated 16,000 child soldiers have been recruited to fight for different factions there. UNICEF has overseen the release of thousands of these children and has played a major role in rehabilitating them when they do finally return. Justin Forsyth is Deputy Executive Director for UNICEF. He recently came back from a trip to South Sudan.
Well, overall, the situation is very, very dire. There's a big outbreak of violence in July, and as a consequence of that, it's pushed the humanitarian situation over the edge. Hospitals have been looted, children are out of school, people have been displaced. And in the midst of this, all the different armed groups, both the government and the opposition, are actively mobilizing. And as part of that, they're recruiting child soldiers. You see child soldiers as you drive along the roads in these very remote areas. I was out in a place called Bentu, and I saw a lot of child soldiers who had been recently recruited.
How young are you seeing them?
Well, as young as 10 or 11, but a lot of them are 13, 14, and 15. I met one family of a child soldier and the child soldier themselves who had been recently demobilized. He was 14 and he'd been 3 years in an armed group and had to fight, had to commit atrocities, was very damaged by the experience he'd been through.
So UNICEF is one of the few organizations internationally that has any experience trying to rehabilitate and reintegrate former child soldiers after combat. What have you learned about what it takes to take these children by the hand after the horrors of combat and try to lead them toward a normal life?
Well, it's complex, and you have to understand where they're coming from. Actually, one young boy I talked about being safer in his armed group because it's so insecure in South Sudan. He said he also got regular food. He also had access to his friends, and he'd fled his village with his family, been separated from his mom and dad. His dad had actually been killed. And so it created actually some stability. So one of the most important things is as you rehabilitate these children, you have to find some security for them. You have to find a way forward. Otherwise, they actually felt safer in the armed groups, especially in countries mired in conflict. So you need to do the psychosocial counseling to help them overcome the terrible things they've seen, but also things they might have done. They killed people. Some of these young boys have raped people too. And that takes many years of support to overcome that. They need to get back to school. This young boy I met, who was 14, this was his first week in school in his whole life, in his whole 14 years. You have to think about the support to their families in terms of money and food and health care so they get that support going forward.
It's become clear now that ISIS in Syria and Iraq has started using child soldiers. There are suspicions, of course, that the suicide bomber in Turkey just this past week may have been a child. Is UNICEF involved in any way with helping any of these children? Do you have a way into this conflict?
It's very difficult. We work right across Syria. We work with partner organizations. We're trying to, even in those very tough places, reach out to those children to help and support them. For example, in another place where also those extreme terrorist groups are working, northern Nigeria, Boko Haram have used a lot of children as bombers. I'm reluctant to say suicide bombers because those children aren't voluntarily blowing themselves up, but they are bombers. And there's been a huge increase in the use of not just boys but girls in that situation, depressurized and then blown up, often not themselves pulling the cord, but actually remotely by some adult on blowing them up in those situations. And those children, we have provided some support in terms of rehabilitation. And they're very traumatized because those children have been through terrible violent situations themselves. And they're forced to do something that they know is wrong. And then they have all the guilt that goes with it. And that takes a lot of support and counseling to overcome.
Is there anything unique about ISIS as an organization or this conflict in Syria and Iraq with this terrorist organization that makes it more difficult than Boko Haram or armies and factions in Sudan that you've dealt with that makes this an even more complicated situation to try and help some of these children if they survive?
Well, there's a similarity in that they indoctrinate the children, they use a lot of peer pressure, they force them to commit atrocities. But we've also seen that in the past with the Lord's Resistance Army, who operated and still operate in the Central African Republic, in Congo, in South Sudan itself, northern Uganda. So, in the past, we've seen these very, very violent groups that indoctrinate children. They force them to become willing soldiers by getting them to commit atrocities, and then the guilt that they play on and the psychology of it makes them the most brutal soldiers in some of these situations. And they're very young, 11, 12, 13. And ISIS and other terrorist groups are using those similar tactics, but they're not the first in history. They are very brutal. Children are increasingly being used as these bombers in these situations, and that is a worrying development.
And I take it that UNICEF shouldn't be doing this alone. Have you had contacts with other governments, with countries where these children may go, so that that kind of rehabilitation can take place in the UK or the United States or France or Germany, to where these children may end up if they survive?
Well, most of the children are helped in the countries they're from. So in South Sudan, very few of those children would get to America or Europe. But yes, some of those children do get through, they become migrants or refugees. And then, also we've seen children fleeing gang violence in Central America ending up in the US. And some of those children have also been forced to commit terrible atrocities. They're not soldiers, but they have been part of gangs. And yes, in the US and in Europe, you have to provide that support in terms of the rehabilitation, and governments play a very vital role. But I think the bigger challenge is in the regions and countries themselves, where there's much less capacity. I mean, in the area I was in, South Sudan, I went to one hospital and it had only 3 beds in it, only 1 bed in the whole pediatric ward. So, you talk about psychologists or child welfare officers, there's hardly any. I mean, there's no capability at all. So you're trying to support rehabilitation of children in countries that almost have nothing. And that's where the real challenges arise.
Justin Forsyth is Deputy Executive Director for UNICEF. Justin, thank you.
Thank you.
Support for The Takeaway comes from LegalZoom, for over 10 years working to help Americans navigate the legal system. With assistance on business formations, wills and trusts, trademark registration, and patents, legal help is at LegalZoom.com.